Open your Bibles, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 6 here this morning. Ephesians chapter 6. Continuing along, just train of thought that we've been at the last few weeks, and that is just a survey and going through the Bible and just hitting on some basic Christian topics, some basic things that you and I as a Christian need to know and need to keep in the back of our mind as we just live our daily lives. And so that's kind of where we're going this morning. Nothing earth-shattering. It's something I'm sure that you have heard many, many times before. But in Ephesians chapter 6, go down and take a look at verse 10. Verse 10, a very famous passage of Scripture. And verse 10 says this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Let's go ahead and bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you once again just for an opportunity to be here on a Sunday morning. You are a great God, and Father, there are many things going on. As Pastor Jim mentioned, both Brother Brian and Miss Melba Jane are physically facing some challenges here this morning. Brother Brian's pretty serious. He is currently in ICU. He's had another minor stroke, and while he is still able to function, still able to talk, and that is a great thing, Lord, it is concerning to us, and we just ask that you would do something special in his body and literally in his mind, that you'd help him to recover. Lord, we love him, and just leave him to you and ask, Father, the great physician, that you take care of what needs to be taken care of. Help Melba Jane as well. Lord, for the rest of us here this morning, help us to set aside just some of the cares and concerns of the world. We get pressured from many different directions throughout the course of the week. Help us to just forget about those things for a little while here this morning, as we come before you, as we hear the Word of God preached. And Father, I pray that you would speak to each and every one of us in the things that you know we need to hear. So, Father, I pray that you would set me aside and that you would minister to your people here this morning. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, in Ephesians chapter 6, again, a very familiar passage of Scripture, we have the armor, we have the attacks of the devil coming at you, and we have an achievement that you should be striving for, and that is, when it's all said and done, at the end of this whole thing, when we get our, you know, get through this whole process and life is over, I pray that the Lord will have found us to still be standing. Amen? That we have not been defeated, that we have not been knocked down, that we have not been knocked off track, that the devil's attacks and his fiery darts and all the things that he throws at us has not taken us out of the race for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what the armor of God is all about. It is supposed to help you survive those attacks. It is supposed to help you achieve that ultimate goal of being found at the end of your life or at the rapture, whichever comes first, to be found still standing. As in, you have not been knocked down and defeated. Right? When the Lord comes back, listen, I pray and I hope that He finds you standing for the truth. Amen? That you haven't lost your way when it comes to doctrinal things and truth versus falsehood. I pray the Lord finds you standing for the faith. Jesus says, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Right? And you ought to contend for the faith. I hope He finds you standing for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, that on a daily basis, you actually think about how people perceive you as a Christian. That is, if you're saved here this morning. If you're lost here this morning, if you've never been saved, we'll discuss that briefly. But primarily, the message this morning is kind of is aimed at Christians. And so I pray the Lord would find you standing when he returns. Unfortunately, sometimes life happens and not everything in life goes our way. Sometimes you get frustrated, you get tired, you get weary. There's a lot of things that can happen. Sometimes you just get to a place in life where you lose track of the vision of what the Lord is all about, what the Bible is all about, what Christianity is all about. I mean, why do we come here on a Sunday morning, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, or Wednesday after Wednesday after Wednesday? Why do we get together during the week? Sometimes Christians have a tendency to lose track of that, and spiritual things begin to take a much lower spot in the priority list of our lives. It happens. It's unfortunate when it happens, but it does happen. And when that begins to happen, then I can promise you this. One of the things that is happening to you is that you have gotten to the place in your Christian life where you are not daily, or at least on a very regular basis, getting up in the morning or throughout the course of the day and putting that armor on. Right? You have gotten to the place where that armor is not accomplishing what it should be accomplishing. Maybe your armor is missing. if you're saved here this morning, maybe you know about these different pieces of armor and you're familiar with them, but you just don't think it's very important to put them on a regular basis. Why? Because you have other things to do. Other thoughts, other concerns. Your mind is somewhere else. You just, you know, that's for the religious kooks. Maybe your armor isn't what it should be because it just hasn't been maintained the way that it should be. You know, if you leave things out in the weather, they have a tendency to rust. They have a tendency to, you know, to stiffen up, and the cold weather messes with all the gaskets. And you go out and try to start your car. If you leave it outside over on some of our nice Minnesota warm winter mornings when it's 20 below, and you get out there, and what happens is you turn that key, and even if you have a good battery, even if everything is working properly, you know what happens if it's out in the weather, and that car begins to go, right? It kind of talks back at you when you begin to start it. Now, hopefully it starts just fine and it warms up and everything is good. But, you know, that doesn't happen if it's taken care of and you have the ability to put it in the garage. Just that little bit of change makes a big difference in how that car starts in the morning. Well, listen, your Christian armor is very similar to that. If you don't maintain it, if you don't take care of it, it begins to weaken over time. It begins to get stressed, and it doesn't function quite the way that it should. Right? Maybe you're a Christian here this morning, and maybe you have found that for all practical purposes, I know that spiritually this is not the case, but for all practical purposes on a day-to-day basis, your armor has failed. Your Christianity doesn't seem to be doing much for you at all in the way of helping you to gain new spiritual heights and walk with the Lord and contemplate and think on spiritual things. It's there. You got your armor somewhere, but it's tucked away in the closet. You're not even sure if all the pieces are still there. That could certainly be a possibility. Are you as a Christian this morning still able to accomplish and achieve what the whole purpose of the armor of God is, and that is to be able to still stand? So I'd just like to ask you a question this morning, and that kind of is the title of my message, and that is simply this. Does your armor still work? Amen? Does your armor still work? The armor that God's equipped you with to battle this Christian life and walk through and live in this Christian life, does it still work? Does it still do anything at all for you? Is it still active? Does it still protect you? Or has it fallen into ill repair? Or is some of it missing? We all know about the armor of God. We've all heard great messages preached about this armor, and I couldn't even begin to, you know, to rise to the level of some of the great messages that I've heard preached on the armor of God. And we've all walked away at one time or another from those messages that were preached on the armor of God with a kind of a renewed zeal and that renewed, revived interest in trying to follow God and, hey, what does God want? And God really cares, and a determination, a new determination to walk the straight and narrow. Have you not experienced that before? Well, and then time happens. And sometimes you lose it. That armor of God, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what your armor looks like. Maybe it's, practical. Maybe it's decorative. Maybe it's just light, mobile. I kind of like these. I'm really torn. Do I want the samurai armor on the left, or do I want the new modern stuff on the right? I want a set of each, I think. But I know this. I know that when it comes to the armor of God, when it comes to the armor of God for a Christian, listen, you have to get up each day, and you have to get up at least on a regular basis, and you have to do a few things that will help that armor to be effective. You have got to make a decision. You're going to face a daily challenge. And you've got to set up some sort of a defense. And those kind of are the three things that I would like to talk about this morning and how to do that. There's that decision, that daily challenge, and a defense. And so what I just did is I just kind of took the different pieces of the armor of God, and while, you know, there's room to, you could put them in different categories, I just put them into three different categories. And I came up this morning with an easy way. Not an easy way, but at least a way that you can think about that armor of God and that you can try to put it on. How do you put on the armor of God? I mean, you hear that all the time. Get up, let's put on the whole armor of God. Okay, well, you don't really have a physical helmet. If you're in the military, it's easy, right? You put on your flak jacket, you put on your helmet, you get all your gear set up, it's pretty routine. It becomes routine. But how do you do that as a Christian? I mean, on a practical day-to-day basis, how do I get up and put on the armor of God? And so I just like to kind of approach that and give you a few things to think about along that line. And the first thing that I would like to say in, as far as the armor of God and how to put it on day by day is the first thing that needs to happen, ladies and gentlemen, is that you need to sanctify yourself. John says this. It's John 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Right? When it comes to the armor of God, you think about your loins girt about with truth. Right? The helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation sets you apart. Guess what happens when you get saved? When you get saved, listen, you are spiritually, you are set apart, you are sanctified. Right? So the helmet of salvation would be one that falls into this category. Another one would be the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. I'll read it for you, but in Romans 10, the Bible says this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. In Ephesians chapter 6, you have the gospel of feet of peace. Your feet shot with the gospel of peace. Right? Romans 10 ties that into salvation. Well, that is a form of sanctification. What you and I need to do if we want to actually put that armor on is when we get up in the morning, or you need to get to a point in your life where you have the truth, you have salvation, you have peace. Right? How do I put that on? Well, it comes down to making a decision in your life. Folks, the first decision that you need to make, if you're lost here this morning, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, this is all new to you. Listen, there is a heaven, there is a hell. And one of these days, all of us are going to die. Hopefully a long time from now. But you have people all the time that face death. You guys probably have relatives, if not friends, that have passed away. Death is a reality. And when you die and you leave this world, listen, there's only one or two places that you're going to go. Your soul, your body's going to go in the grave. But your soul is going to wind up in eternity in hell or in heaven. There is no other place. Those are the only two options. Death and hell eventually get cast into the lake of fire, which is just, you know, a big bad hell. But those are the only two options. Right? And what happens is you, as a human being, is you have to realize, listen, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. Well, how do you do that? You got to have your sins forgiven. Lord Jesus Christ came down to this earth. He was God manifest in the flesh. He hung on the cross. He died there. They whipped him. They beat him. They ripped the beard out of his face. Listen, what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you and me, we can't even imagine. The price that he paid for your salvation to help you because he knew that you needed a way out of hell. He was God. He was perfect. He had never sinned before. He lived a sinless life when he was here on earth. He never did anything wrong. And yet they took him and they hung him on that cross. They, like I said, they whipped him. They beat him. They took that cat of nine tails and just filleted his back open. And he went through all that brutal abuse on his way to the cross. Then he hung on the cross. He laid himself down because he loved us so much. He laid himself down and gave his life for us freely, the Bible says. And then they took that cross and they raised it up and it slid down in that hole when he was nailed to it. And it hit the bottom of that hole and every bone in his body shook, being held up by just a couple of nails. As he was bleeding, as is that crown of thorns that was on his head, and as he was being buffeted, his face was beaten, and his beard was ripped out, his back was already flayed open, and you know, there was just whip marks all over his body, and he hung there, and he just talked to the two guys next to him for a while. And then after all of that, after all that abuse, after all that the Lord Jesus Christ did for you and me, then the ultimate time came where it was time for him to actually pay for the sins of the world. That is, everything that you have ever done wrong. Everything that you have ever thought wrong. Everything that you ever contemplated doing wrong, or that you do wrong, that you know that you do wrong. The Lord Jesus Christ hung there on that cross and he said, you know what? I'm going to pay for that sin. And then the time came where there was darkness upon the face of the earth for about 3 hours. But he finally, the Bible says, he gave up the ghost. And when he did, ladies and gentlemen, the sins of the whole world were placed on him. The Lord Jesus Christ took the sins that you committed. Think about that for a minute. Think about how many just you have committed. And he took all of those and laid them on his own back and paid for them. You know, that's, folks, that's something worth appreciating. And you know what? You know what we ought to do? We ought to sanctify ourselves because of that. You understand, if you're saved here this morning, if you're not saved, listen, the Lord Jesus Christ did that for you because he loved you and he wanted you to get saved. And he did that, the only reason he did that is so that you wouldn't have to spend eternity in hell. And all he asks is that you recognize, hey, yes, I'm a sinner. Lord, I know, I got it. I've sinned. And you know what? I know I can never be good enough to get to heaven on my own. I can't. But you know what? You died for me. You loved me enough to die for me. You paid that price. You suffered. You bled. You hung on that cross. You took that abuse for me. And you said that if I would trust you, you would pay for my sin. If you're lost here this morning, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you. But you have to receive it. You have to receive it. You have to get in that mental state in your heart. You have to realize what He did for you, who He was, and go to Him in prayer and say, Lord, listen, I don't deserve it, but You died for me. Would You please save me? I know that a bunch of those sins that You paid for on that cross that day were mine. And I don't want to have to pay for them. I know what I've done. I don't want to have to pay for them. Would You please save me? Because you're my only hope. And when you do that, the Lord Jesus Christ will sanctify you spiritually. He'll make you righteous. He'll give you a new life. Right? To sanctify means to cleanse. It means to make holy, to purify, to separate or set apart. And when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's what He does with you. You were the child of the devil. And then you came to Him and asked for forgiveness. And He said, well, of course. Sure. And He took you and He set you apart and He pulled you into His family. I hope everybody here this morning has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. That is how you get sanctification. Now, for a Christian, that process should continue. Spiritually, it's done at salvation. That's once and for all, one-time deal, finished. But on a day-to-day basis, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says this. Oops. It says, sanctify them through that truth. Thy word is truth. On a day-to-day basis, you and I need to be sanctified, set apart. We need to make that decision. Right? I know that spiritually you've been sanctified, but as a Christian, if you're here this morning as you're a Christian, you need to get to the place in your Christian life where you make that decision that says, you know what? The world is going one way. I want to set myself apart and go another way. Amen. Right? I want to sanctify myself. I want to set myself apart. I want to go another way. Why? Because I don't fully understand, but I kind of get a glimpse of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me. I know what He did for me. I know the truth about salvation. And Father, I want to set myself apart for Your use. Amen. Amen? Sanctification for a Christian is a decision that you have to face. Hey, listen. You may be here this morning and you're saved and you know you're saved. But you have never gotten to the place where you've decided, I want to set myself apart for the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about what that means for a minute. What that means is that you understand what Jesus Christ did for you on Calvary. You understand the blood that He shed. You understand that crown of thorns. You understand the whips on His back. You understand the beard being plucked off His face. You understand all the punishment that He went through. You understand the love that He had for you. You understand He loved you enough to die for you. He loved you enough to die for all and pay for all of your sins. And then you took advantage of that to play the get out of hell card. Well, now that you've got your get out of hell card, I'm going to go do what I want. Well, what kind of a rascal are you? Really? Hey, I've got my get out of hell card. I'm good. But as far as anything else for Jesus Christ, I got my own life to live. Just remind me not to ever count on you as on being a close friend. If you'll do that to the Lord Jesus Christ, who did so much for you, you'll do it to anybody. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ wants out of you and I as Christians? He wants us to remember what He did for us and make a decision to just say, you know what? I know the world is going this direction, and I know there's a lot of opportunities for fun that you'll have to pay for later. There's a lot of opportunities of fun that are presented to you. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to do? He wants you to just set that stuff aside Set that stuff aside. Sanctify yourself. And you know what? I'm going to make a decision to live for God. I'm consciously going to make that decision to sanctify myself for the Lord Jesus Christ. I am going to, you know, I'm going to set myself apart for the Lord. I'm going to allow Him to direct my path. I'm going to try my best to yield to His will. If you're not doing that on a regular basis, shame on you. Now, nobody's perfect, I understand. But are you at least trying? Think about what the Lord did for you. You owe it to Him to at least try. Listen, are you willing? Are you willing to set yourself apart for the ministry if God wants you? You say, oh, He would never want me. Hey, you do. He's picked some people that are probably worse than you. Yeah, I don't need no help, Dan. Everybody already knows that. Why do you think He put me up here? Because He knew if I'd be sitting out there, I wouldn't pay attention. He figured at least if I was up here, I'd at least have to pay attention to what I wrote in my sermon. Which is really not funny, Lord. But listen. Listen, He wants you to make that decision to sanctify yourself. And if the Lord was to call you to do something special for Him, would you? Would you make a decision to sanctify yourself, set yourself apart and say, okay, Lord, whatever You want to do with me, you know what? I'm willing. That's what He desires. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't get a job and live a, quote, normal life. Right? I mean, just think about the examples that you have in front of you. Think about the examples you have in front of you. Pastor Jim, he has a job. The Lord's called him. He's sanctified, set himself apart. Brother Mike, I'm so glad I can say this now. He's got a job. But he set himself apart for the Lord's work, right? Brother Sean, he's got a job. But he set himself apart. He's a deacon in the church. He's committed. He's set himself aside for the Lord to use him. Brother Josh, he's got a job. Sometimes he wished he didn't have it. No, I don't mean that. You're a pastor. Well, I used to have a job. But listen, every one of those men that have at some point in their life have looked at this thing between the Lord and they've made this decision. You know what? I want to sanctify myself for the Master's use. I don't know what that looks like for you. It doesn't mean you have to be a pastor. It doesn't mean you have to be a missionary. But they've just made a decision. I'm going to sanctify myself for the Master's use. I'm going to set myself aside. Maybe it's a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it's just a faithful church member. Praise the Lord for faithful church members. You guys are what make this thing work. Because without you, there's no reason for any of us. But everyone's made a decision to set themselves apart for the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you made that decision? Because one of the armor of God, one of the things that it accomplishes, it sanctifies. It's to set things apart for the Lord Jesus Christ. After you decide in your Christian life, and I hope you have, if you've never gotten to the point in your Christian life where you've decided, yes, Lord, I want to be sanctified for Your use. I don't know what that means. I'm kind of half scared about what that means, but at least I'm willing to go check it out. But if you've never done that, I wish you'd consider that this morning. What does it really mean to be a Christian? What does it really mean to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? After you get to that place and you decide that you want to sanctify yourself, you know what the next step is, ladies and gentlemen? The next step is to crucify yourself. It says in Luke in Luke 9:23, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. So you start this whole process in realizing there's a heaven, there's a hell. You decide to get saved, and I pray that you have. If you haven't, that's your primary concern right now. But if you have, you're a Christian. But as a Christian, you kind of need practically and physically to say, okay, I know spiritually I'm sanctified, but I want to be sanctified in this life. And so you make that decision. Yes, I'm going to set myself aside for the Lord. Well, how do you do that? How do you go about doing that on a day-to-day basis? Well, the way that you do that is, ladies and gentlemen, is you crucify yourself day in, day out. To crucify, yes, it is to nail something to the cross. We get that. But it is also this. It is to reject. It is to despise. It is to subdue, to mortify, to destroy the influence or power of something.
Amen.
And the Lord Jesus Christ said unto them all, if any man will come after me, if any man wants to be sanctified, let him what? Deny himself and take up his cross daily. That is, this challenge here, folks, is a day-to-day challenge where you get up in the morning and you decide, you know what, today, I want to serve God. And then you go through the day and you know, things go pretty well or they don't go well, whatever the case may be for that day. And then you get up the next morning and guess what? You do it all over again. You know what? Yesterday was a pretty good day, or yesterday was a pretty bad day, but today, I want to serve the Lord. This is a daily challenge every day, day after day after day, 7 days a week, 365 and a quarter days a year. How else can I emphasize the grueling, monotonous, boring, wearisome task that lies ahead of you as a Christian? Day after day, you got to get up and say, you know what? I need to crucify myself. I need to set myself apart. Sanctify. I need to crucify myself, set myself apart, and then crucify myself. When you look at the armor of God, I notice two things that kind of fall into this category. That says the breastplate of what? Righteousness. Well, you know what righteousness is. Every day you're going to have to get up and decide, guess what? You're going to have to decide to live righteous. Holy. Right? The sword of the Spirit. These things have to do with controlling my flesh after I'm saved. In Romans 6 it says this. It says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Galatians says it this way, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth within me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 5:24 says this, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. You see, this is the part of the Christian life, ladies and gentlemen, that is grueling and brutal, and that you and I struggle with day in, day out, day in, day out. John Flavel, he was an English Puritan Presbyterian preacher, he said this. He said, it's easier to cry out against 1,000 sins of others than to kill one of your own. You know what makes this part of the Christian life so hard? It's just tough to look at ourselves and just try to come up with one thing that we say, yep, that's a sin. Yep, I need to take care of that one. We'd much rather look at all the people around us. I mean, after all, look at how many hypocrites there are in the church. And if you're not a member and you join, then we'll have one more. But brethren, our biggest challenge as a Christian is how to learn to crucify our flesh day in and day out. What does it mean? Well, that just means, you know, kind of staying away from sin. You know, the devil loves to use a tactic where he just comes at you and comes at you and comes at you and comes at you. And he just, you know, one of the tactics that he uses is he just wants to wear you down so that you quit, you give up, and you just quit trying to fight sin. And, you know, martial arts, we have this tactic. It's, you know, based general fighting tactic, but it's been summarized like this: death by a thousand cuts. And normally you think when somebody's attacking you, they're going to, you know, go for the jugular vein, right? Try to stab you in the heart, something. Am I getting too violent? We think of this big, grand attack that, you know, one punch and they're out, they're gone. And yes, no, the reality is sometimes, you know what another tactic is? Just peck away at them, peck away at them, peck away at them. And you got this knife, and they go to attack you, and you're just like, slice. All of a sudden, the wrist doesn't work. They try to throw a punch, slice. All of a sudden, their arm doesn't work. They try to kick you, slice. All of a sudden, their leg doesn't work. Why? Because I'm cutting tendons, man. I'm not in a hurry. The devil's not in a hurry. He'll just sit back and watch you, and just about the time, you know, you're supposed to have this breastplate of righteousness. Well, how does that work if you're not trying to live righteously? The armor doesn't work. It kind of fails. And the devil just sits back, and listen, the devil's got plenty of time. He's been doing this with men for 6,000 years right now. He's not in a hurry. And he just sits back and looks at you, Mr. or Mrs. Christian, and he just cuts and cuts and cuts and cuts. Crucifying your flesh is a wearisome, it's just monotonous. It's day after day. It never ends. When you get up tomorrow, guess what? You got to put the armor on and do it all over again. That's what gets to most Christians. It's just getting up tomorrow and having to face it all again. But I promise you, going the other way is much worse. Quitting is much worse. But the reality is, you're going to have to get up tomorrow and do it all again. I'm going to have to skip some of my good illustrations, but you have a sword, you have a breastplate. And you know, when the devil attacks, you know, that breastplate, that's your righteousness. It is how you're conducting yourself, how you're living. And when you decide just to do right and live right and live righteously, guess what? That strengthens that breastplate. I mean, yes, I know you get righteousness at salvation spiritually, but we're talking on a practical day-to-day basis. Right? That's what this is talking about. And the devil's going to go for where? Your heart, which is behind that breastplate. Right? The devil's going to go for your arms. Why? So that when he attacks, you can't take that sword and defend off the attacks. You've got to get to the place in your Christian life where you crucify yourself and you ward off the devil's attacks, and you set it in your heart, you purpose in your life to get up every day and say, Lord, listen, I don't want to fall prey to the devil today. Some days are going to be better than others. But tomorrow you get up and you do the same thing all over. The Bible says this in Romans 6, it says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves? It's a decision. You get up this morning, okay, who are you going to yield to? To whom ye yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey. Whether of sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness. When you get up and you make up your mind to yield yourself unto obedience, you increase that righteousness. The devil's after you. I mean, he's out to get you. He is out to get you, and he's going to attack you where it matters most. You've got the helmet. You say, well, I'm saved. You got the helmet of salvation on. Listen, the devil's going to try to attack your head, right? Well, what's in your head? Guys, your eyes. And the devil's going to cut away at them and try to get them over and over and over. And he's going to try to get you to look at things you shouldn't be looking at. And he's going to try to flash things in front of your eyes that are appealing. And, oh, I want that. And maybe it is a new car. And then that brings up greed. Maybe it's something worse. Ladies, what's in your head? Your ears? Oh, he's going to talk so nice to you. And he's going to say just the right things. And you're going to feel so special. And he's just going to keep saying them over and over and over and just slowly, death by a thousand cuts. Eventually, your defenses fall. Right? Your mouth. Devil's going to try to get you to say things, talk in a speech, in a manner that's not appropriate. And why do you need to do that? Don't you care more about what the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you, thinks about what you say than supposedly these friends who you're trying to impress? I come from a military background, so I'm just going to go there. I know that in today's society right now, it is, I guess, deemed a badge of honor. Lady can swear worse than a guy. Ladies, that is not a badge of honor. Have more respect for yourself than that. Us men would really like to have much more respect for you than that. And, I mean, it was starting back when I was in the military. There was ladies in the military, and they thought they had to cuss just like everybody else to keep up with it, with them. Well, number one, Christian, you don't have to cuss at all. Shouldn't. But if you're a lady, it's just so unbecoming. Have more respect for yourself than that. I hope that that's not a problem in here, but I don't know. It came out. Listen, the devil's going to try to attack you. He's going to try to get there. He's going to try to get into your heart. He's going to try to get to that head. He's going to try to just death by a thousand cuts, and he's going to wear you out. In the Civil War, there's Colonel Strait, he's from the Union Army. General Nathan Forrest was for the Confederate Army. And Colonel Strait had been sent down to blow up the railroads that were supplying supplies to the Confederate Army. So he got sent down to destroy the railroads, and he got down there, and of course he couldn't accomplish his mission. And General Bedford Forrest was after him, and General Bedford Forrest actually had an army of only about 600 men that were following him. Colonel Strait had about 1,200 or so Union Army, but he didn't know the size of Bedford's army. And they began this pursuit. And so Colonel Strait began heading back because he thought he was outnumbered, and he began heading back, and General Forrest began pursuing him, and this pursuit lasted for days. It was brutal. It was, you know, rough terrain. It was constant. It was a constant battle. Neither army had time for rest. Neither army had time for sleep. Colonel Strait had, depending on where you read, he either decided to use donkeys or he was forced to use them because he couldn't get horses. So him and his men were on donkeys. It was called the Jackass Parade Brigade. And so he was trying to escape from General Forrest, And Forrest just kept pursuing, and would not let up. That's what the devil does. And this thing went on for days and days and days, and neither army got any sleep. Neither army got any rest. Neither army could even sit down and have a meal. It was constant pursuit. And they got weary and they got tired. And that's what happens in the Christian life day to day when we try to crucify ourselves, is after a while you just get tired. And Colonel Strait's army, they finally got to a river where there was a bridge. So they crossed the bridge and they burnt the bridge behind them so that General Forrest could pursue them, so that they could actually have a little bit of time to sit down and rest and recuperate and have a little bit of food. A young gal who's very famous down there actually showed General Forrest where there was a low spot in the river, and the pursuit continued, and they didn't get any rest. Neither one of the armies. This went on for several days, and they were tired. They finally got to the place where Colonel Strait had to give his men some rest, so he set up a defensive position, and a bunch of his men just fell asleep. They were just exhausted. General Forrest, who's pursuing all the way, comes up behind him, and this is the battle where he takes the cannon and brings it inside the tree line, and then circles it around and brings it out in front of the tree line again so that Colonel Strait can see it, circles it around, and there's another cannon, there's another cannon, there's another cannon, there's another cannon. It's the same cannon. But Colonel Strait is sitting there going, this guy has got me way outnumbered, way outgunned, and he's got way more people, and my soldiers are so beat and so tired. And you know what he did? He just surrendered. That's what happens in the Christian life when you try to crucify your flesh. And that's what the devil's counting on, is he can get you to the place where he would just get you to surrender. But the truth of the matter is, General Forrest's soldiers were just as tired and just as weary and just as beaten down. They just lasted a little bit longer. You say, I fought that battle with my flesh and I've lost it over and over and over. I don't care. Get up and do it again. But if you're going to put on the armor of God, you're going to have to crucify the flesh. And then finally, I'm going to wrap things up here. The final thing, once you've made the decision, ladies and gentlemen, to separate yourself for God. Yes, I'm actually interested in trying to serve God.
Amen.
And then you face this day in, day out battle. And some days are going to be good, some days are going to be bad, but I'm going to crucify my flesh. I'm going to try to get away from that stuff that I know is wrong. But I want to do it anyway. And you battle with that, you crucify your flesh, and you get some victory, and you gain some ground, and believe it or not, if you gain some ground, I promise you, you're gonna have a better life all the way around. You will find peace. You will find joy. You will find happiness. All those things that you think you're searching for right now, that you think you're going to find by not crucifying your flesh. How's it going? Because you're just as miserable this year as you were last year. When you find God and you sanctify yourself for Him, when you decide to sanctify yourself for Him and you decide to take that daily battle, that daily challenge of crucifying your flesh for the Lord, you know what? You're going to find yourself with much more joy, much more happiness. You're going to have a much happier life than you ever imagined possible, I promise you. I didn't say it's without trouble and without problems. There'll be trouble and problems along the way, but it's much better than the other option. Once you get that done and you get a little bit of victory in your life, the next thing you need to do, ladies and gentlemen, is just to fortify yourself. And Nehemiah, and I don't have time to go into it, Nehemiah got back to Jerusalem and he started building the walls. Right? He started building the walls, building them back up. Why? Because they had been knocked down. And he, if you want to look at that as a Christian life, he had been defeated and destroyed. And his Christian life wasn't going very well. But now things are beginning to change and those walls are getting to be built back up. You know, you could be here this morning as a Christian and maybe you've had a lot of failures in your Christian life in the past. But I promise you, if you'll get to the place where you just make a decision to sanctify yourself, you'll crucify your flesh daily. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do today? What do you not want me to do today? And then you get to the place where you just begin to build those walls back up, build those defenses back up. To fortify is to surround with a wall or a moat. It is to defend against attacks. And Nehemiah's job was to defend the city against attacks. All right? Once you get to that place where you accomplish those things in your Christian life, listen, you'll be able to sit back and you know the enemy's coming and you'll be able to take that step and defend against it. Again, I'm trying to hurry to get done. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm just asking you this about the armor of God in your Christian life today. Does it still work? Does your armor, your Christian armor, still do what it's supposed to be doing? If you'll make the decision to set yourself apart, sanctify. If you will, on a day-to-day basis, crucify yourself. And as you start gaining victory, if you will then begin to fortify yourself, folks, listen, your Christian life will be turned around 180 degrees. Makes all the difference in the world. You'll find everything that you are hoping to find that you're chasing right now. But the devil's not going to give it to you. Because the devil is not the one that hung on the cross and died for you. He's the one that's out trying to kill you. And sometimes Christians don't remember that. And they make the mistake of following the devil, the one who wants to do them harm. And he does you harm by making it look like it's going okay. And then he'll get you later. And the Lord, who loves you, says, I know this is a difficult path. I know it's tough because the enemy's trying to get you every day of your life. But if you follow it, guess what you're going to get later? Right? The whole armor of God. I hope as a Christian you're putting it on. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, thank you again for the chance to be here. You're a great God, a holy God. And Lord, as we just sit back and consider this basic Christian subject of the armor of God, every Christian here this morning needs to put that armor on every day. Lord, we do need to set ourselves apart. We do need to crucify our flesh. And then we do need to fortify ourselves so that we don't fall back into all the mistakes we've made in the past. So help us to do that. But Father, if there's somebody here today who's never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, they need to be sanctified spiritually. They need to receive you as a Savior. After all that you did for them, Father, I pray that you would impress upon their heart the love and the care and concern that you have for them. It doesn't matter where they're at, what they're going through. You died on that cross to pay for their sins, every one of them. And if they would just turn their heart toward you and make that decision to receive you as Savior, Father, you would sanctify them spiritually. So I pray that if there's somebody here today who's lost, that today they would trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Just asking now to bless a little bit of time of invitation. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.